Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, it is my first show back since the end of May. Did anything happen?
I mean, Erin, it's been a warmer than usual summer.
Yeah. Weather stuff mostly.
Weather stuff. I don't know what else happened. It's been both catastrophic and hopeful.
I have to say, the debate happened about a week after I had given birth. Mm-hmm. And I was holding the baby. I turned on the debate in time for Biden's abortion answer. And I was like, nope, turned it off.
See, and I watched the debate with my cat, Norm, who died the next day. So both of, like, not a good time. Things have decidedly gotten better since June 22nd.
This has been a roller coaster of vibes for sure.
I could use less roller coaster, more even keel vibes.
Well, hopefully we're going to have a pretty smooth fall. I can't even say that without laughing.
Let's come on. You know there'll be an October surprise.
Oh, boy. Exciting show today. Alyssa, we talked to Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan.
Great convo you have with her.
Yeah, she's really amazing. And I fear that once everyone hears our interview with her, that everyone's going to move to Minnesota and the traffic is going to get really bad. So when I go home, it's going to be annoying.
There's still snow, though.
Yeah, that's true. And people are real weird about snow.
Not us, though.
Speaking of Minnesota, we dive into why Tim Walz represents the type of guy that we wish there was more of.
Yeah. Let Tim Walz reign.
Exactly. And of course, we have Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty, but we have decided to strike the petty because we are
nothing but positive.
We are running on joy from now until November, come hell or high water.
Don't you dare try to stop us.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that thinks nice guys are the new bad boys. Do you agree?
Make all the Brandon Walsh's Dylan McKay's or vice versa, however that works, but it's good for me.
Alyssa, I don't know if I texted you this in a state of exhilaration when I learned this fact, but did you know
what
that the campus, the college campus that I live close to here in Los Angeles, was the site of all the exteriors for the high school for 90210?
I did know that. You did tell me.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure you knew that because
it is like when I was young and found out the place we were on vacation in Palm Springs was where Ray Pruitt had pushed Donna Martin down the stairs. I was like, whoa, I don't know. I wish I had. I mean, it was like 1993, so I didn't have a camera
or
anything.
Did you recognize it by sight? Were you like the Terminator? Are you like the Terminator, like turning?
I was
to
like,
look
it can't
things?
Be. I'm like, it can't be.
And your brain is like, oh my goodness, image matched. Oh my gosh.
Went straight to the front desk and asked the hard questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man. Real quick, the J.D. Vance drag photos.
What on earth?
You know, normally seeing somebody in drag makes me like them more. Like,
no, this just, you know what this means about him? It means it's so dark and calculating because it means he knows how to be accepting and what is correct behavior and that he knew it and that he's thrown all of that aside in search of higher power.
Yeah, he is kind of an empty vessel. And one thing that I do appreciate about J.D. Vance kind of going over like a lead balloon is the fact that it shows how out of touch and how uncalculated and how in their own little world, like the Silicon Valley power brokers. That
the least cool bros.
Exactly. They are not in any way aware of what people like. They do not know how normal people
Nor do they have any sense of humor.
No. None whatsoever.
They do not know what's funny. He is up on that stump trying to do improv every day, and it is going over like a fart in church.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I missed you, Alyssa. I really
Girl, missed you. Come on, we're back. We're back.
I missed
back.
Our times together. I got to say, my brain is like Swiss cheese. I've been trying to catch up with everything that's been happening, but, you know, when you have
Ain't no need to catch up.
I mean,
we're starting fresh. New broom sweeps clean. And I guess in this case, the baby is the broom. I don't know.
I feel like I started, I feel like I'm coming into a show after the first two seasons. Like, and I already know what happens in the first two
You're
seasons.
Like, let me catch you up on the first two seasons of The Bachelor.
Right. Or like, this is the last season of Breaking Bad. And like, I already know all of the things that happened in all the
previous
seasons.
You know what needs to be known.
I know. It's been such a wild summer. But I think that the moment that the vibes went from the worst vibes possible.
The worst.
To among the best vibes possible.
Because we needed it.
Because we needed it, which was when Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, like a breath of fresh air, comes breezing in from Minnesota. And he changed the entire course of the presidential election with his just like positive Santa Claus energy. People immediately noticed that Walz reminded them of dads and uncles and relatives that they had or wish they had. And the more we see him on the stump, the more we're seeing an example of somebody who is fully a man. Nobody would be like, that guy's girly, because he is very, very much—
most decidedly not girly.
Exactly. But it is a model of masculinity, of kindness, cheerfulness, helpfulness, usefulness that is such a good counterexample to what we had been seeing from Team Trump. And even from, like, in among the Democrats. Like, I think we have, like, a Jamie Raskin is one person who sort of has this vibe. But, yeah, Alyssa, you're nodding emphatically.
No, I just, you know what it is? It's like we have been surrounded by people who are keen to tell us about all the problems, but not a lot of fixers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when Mr. Rogers is like, always look for the helpers? Mm-hmm. Where have the helpers been? And the Republicans, more than anybody, are like, let me tell you why things are broken and who's to blame and why you should have grievance. And Tim Walz just shows up like with a tool belt. He's like, let's fix it. And I think that that's something that we just haven't heard in a long time. And that's no ding on Biden or anything. It's just a totally different energy and someone who is bringing fresh eyes and fresh legs to this race.
Is this a hopium high that will last through November?
So can I ask a question? Is that like a reference I'm not missing? Like there's no hopium in the Urban Dictionary. This is just like opium and hopium instead of opium.
It's a brand new portmanteau.
This was what we needed. Erin, I don't think that any of us could have felt sadder or worse for like a gambit of reasons after the debate. And I personally, like, I mean, as my estrogen levels aside, not sleeping, not feeling good, not feeling joyful, feeling total despair about everything. And we needed this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, look, there are going to be pitfalls. Bad things are going to happen between now and Election Day. You and I both know it. But I think that we've got to take the hopium for what it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with you, and I find myself getting caught up in it. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, that it's not – politicians aren't for standing.
They're people.
They're people. They're your employees. But I think during the campaign, it is okay to get excited about the people that are trying to get the jobs that you are eventually going to criticize them when they are in it, because that's what democracy is. And I find myself really, really falling hard for the Tim Walz vibe. I think a friend of mine on Instagram referred to himself as being Walz-pilled, which
we are Walz-pilled. Yes, it is. You know what, though? I think it's also because he is such a contrast. Trump aside, we've been listening to him drone on for like 8 years at this point. 12 years, however long.
Too long.
J.D. Vance, though, is such a poser.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's such a poser. Like, when he – look at – I want someone who I can look at on Instagram and is like, you know what? I'm going to bring the same smarts to fixing America that I brought to fixing this carburetor. I don't want some fucking broed-out douchebag to be, like, walking on the tarmac – assaulting Kamala Harris's plane to be
so
like,
weird.
I'm just here to see what my plane looks like. It's like, are you in a 1985 like gang movie? Like, who are you?
Oh my God. It reminded me of like Gaston going over to Belle's house and being like, we're getting married. She's like, no, we're not. I've found the archetypes that are at play within the election kind of I guess impossible for me to resist.
Cartoonish?
Yeah. Like, so we have Kamala Harris, who suddenly is leaning into the like kooky aunt who would, like, you can call her if you're at a party and she'll come and pick you up. And she will not tell your parents, but you better not do this ever again.
I think I really relate to that. That is my role in life. I am the one who tells my niece, and my sister always listens. I'm like, you listen, JJ. Someday you're going to get in trouble, and I'm going to be the one you call, and I'm going to show up. Just remember that. Mm-hmm. And that is how I feel about Auntie Kamala.
Yeah, and you know, she'll drive you to the airport. You can stay with her for a week. She lives in the city. She's got an apartment in a tall building. Like, she's got a boyfriend. You know, like, I mean, the real Kamala is married, obviously, but that's the aunt
the vibe.
I'm thinking of. And then we have Tim Walz, who is like, you're like the guy who can fix your car and clean the gutters and cares deeply about public education. He's just like, he reminds me so much of, and he reminds a lot of people of, like, male relatives. Like, he's like my Grandpa Ryan. Like,
he's my Uncle Dieter.
Yeah.
100%.
He's
like.
And then we have J.D. Vance, who is the guy your husband is friends with, and they've been friends since high school. And so before he comes to town, your husband is like, look, I know he's a lot to bite off.
But we've been friends forever.
Yeah, and he just needs to stay at our house for a couple days. And, like, he goes out and gets blasted and comes back and pees your couch.
I was just going to say his nickname is Detox.
I mean, it's like the type of person who, like, just brings the mood down wherever he shows up. Like,
yes.
He's just sort of
a blowhard.
Yeah, but, like, he feels also vaguely threatening. Like,
yeah.
And watching, I just think having Walz as this example of somebody who can, he's not just up there, like, spreading, you know, good cheer by singing loud for all to hear. He's saying things that are, like, aggressive. He is being the vice president attack dog that he needs to be.
There is something about him that is, like, the reason I think that he feels so trustworthy to me is because he has lived the life mm-hmm. that most Americans are living right now, and he can actually relate to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is also something about him in the reclaiming of patriotism. Like, I think you and I have talked a lot over the past, how many years have we done this? 5 years?
So long.
Like, how Democrats are, like, not great at fighting back. It's like either they go so like, they're just not good at it. Mm-hmm. And he has really threaded the needle in a way that's like, hey, guess what? You're not going to fucking say, you're not going to indictments or proclamations around my military service. You're not going to do that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you shouldn't do that to anybody who has served, because they have given of themselves. They've made a sacrifice. And, like, when he ended, when he was speaking at AFSCME, and he defended himself, which is someone who lived through the Kerry campaign, when John Kerry got swift-voted by Republicans and couldn't believe it, so didn't fight back against it, because he's like, Americans are never going to believe this, but they did. Mm-hmm. And Tim Walz not only defended himself, but said, you know what? I also salute and appreciate and respect your service, J.D. Vance. He's just got, like, the 360 response that I think a lot of people have been missing on stuff, or have not had the ability to do, because he has the actual lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just going back to him as a messenger and mm-hmm. the way that he's able to stand up for himself, he's not a pushover, and he even is able to kind of, like, poke some fun at Republicans in a way that mm-hmm. doesn't feel like bullying at all, even though if somebody from Minnesota calls you weird, you may be getting bullied. Like, that
you're not getting complimented.
You're not getting complimented. But in the aftermath of, you know, Walz coming onto the scene with that interview where he called the Republican agenda weird and Republican politicians weird, and that made him, like, a star, Trump has kind of been on his heels when it comes to brainstorming new nicknames for people. He's tried Crazy Kamala. He's workshopped Kamala.
He can't even get his nicknames right.
Lion Kamala. None of them are sticking.
Nope.
So why aren't Trump's insults working now?
Well, a couple things, Erin. One, they're bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not good. And if you think about it, his nicknames to date have always been, like, what did he call Little Marco? He said he had little hands or something.
No, Little Marco's short. He's a short
king. Oh, short. Yeah. Right. He's short. Okay. And the thing about what stuck with Hillary when he called her Crooked Hillary was that even Democrats had lived through some Clinton scandals. So it wasn't – he was he was tagging her with something that was like loosely within the realm of the believable. Mm-hmm. And this is like, I mean, so Kamala laughs. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't,
he doesn't laugh.
Girl, he's lost his touch. Never seen him laugh
yeah.
at anyone other than himself and his own jokes.
Yeah, he doesn't laugh. He doesn't, like, he doesn't do normal people things.
He's gone to, like, I don't really think, unless you're super, super dark, like, Trump going out and calling Kamala a bitch. That nobody wants to hear that, you know, unless you are the darkest of hearts.
That is so boring.
Or saying that she doesn't even know what inflation is. Nobody believes that. Come up with better things.
It's like we've said on this show many a time, sexism is so boring.
Boring.
Because eventually they get so mad, the emotional men get so mad that they cannot, their brains are like fizzing out and they cannot come up with anything besides like, oh, fucking bitch. Like, oh, okay, very good.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think the first time I got called a bitch, I was like 12, you know? Like, I've been, most women who have any like bone of assertion in their body at all, like, have been called a bitch for many, many moons.
Right. And you know who doesn't care? Kamala Harris.
And you know who doesn't care? Most women. Most
women.
No, it's
like, okay.
Yeah. Right. It's just like, okay, I'm sorry that you didn't get hugged enough or got hugged too much when you were small. But like, you know, and it sort of reminds me of when, you know, when you're driving and somebody gets mad at you and they they give you the middle finger, they yell bitch out the window or whatever. The best response is just a straight thumbs down.
Kamala should
start giving them just a thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Let's see if my screen will come up with it.
Wait, did it?
We've had a problem with this for the last 2 months, Erin, that whenever I move physically, I get a thumbs up or a thumbs down on the screen. We can't fix it.
AI is judging you.
Welcome to the new hysteria.
Okay, so it's not working. I think also because everyone's sort of tired of it at this point.
Yeah.
I think when Waltz came onto the national scene and we all started to get to know him, it just was like, oh, we don't have to listen to Trump doing that same thing he's been doing since 2015. We don't have to listen to it.
You know what felt like to when Walls was like, because you know that I'm like deep into the VP of it all. I love VP stories. And my favorite part was when the media, and again, based on literally nothing, because when cable news was reporting who the front runners were, Kamala hadn't even met with people yet. Okay, so nobody knew who a front runner was. And she meets with people, she picks Walls. People had been saying Shapiro and Bashir. And the way that they came together and were like, that's our guy. Like the speech Josh Shapiro gave introducing Tim Walls was like the classiest, coolest, like down for it. Can't wait for you to meet the Wallses. Also, not nothing. But for Gen X, the fact that their name basically sounds like the Waltons is like not nothing. But I think that that also just made people feel like it isn't just like Tim Walls. It's like a total coalescing around kind of goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also, I think we've talked about this over text too, because listeners, Alyssa and I did not stop yapping to each other the entire time I was.
Oh my God, like I can't, literally at least a few times a day.
Yeah, we are yappers to and with each other.
We're yappers.
For sure. But you know, people are kind of tired of the doom and gloom. People are ready for joy, for happiness, for laughing Kamala, great. Sounds good.
Yeah, great. It's like that line from Stairway to Heaven. Does anyone remember laughter? Thank God. Yes, now we can.
it's just such a, it's, I hate, I've used the word vibes a lot. I feel like I.
But it is.
It's just a shift in the feeling of things. And it's been so pronounced that even my family in the Midwest, my parents in like deep red Trump country, mm-hmm. My dad texted me and was like, I just feel a little bit more optimistic now. Like, and if that message is permeating even places that have homemade Trump signs made out of plywood set up in fields next to highways that very few people drive down, like it's working. It's working.
It's working.
Okay. And I hate to bring it to this, but
okay.
Are you nervous at all? Like, are you scared?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Okay. Look, we are still on Tinderhooks. It's just the night terrors have subsided, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't trust Donald Trump as far as we can throw him. Like, Aaron, the simple fact that he has been on television saying that Kamala Harris made up her crowd size and that she's using AI. I mean, every bit of this is his building block to try to, what we ultimately know will be, if he doesn't win, to dispute the election results.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we know that that's like the end game here.
Yeah.
Unless, even if the results are like Dukakis level, right? Mm-hmm. Like, loses every state, even his home state, which I think Dukakis lost his home state, but I can't remember.
But all Minnesota, I know, it was voted a blowout. For him. Minnesota voted.
Was that Mondale and
no,
Ferraro?
No, Mondale.
Mondale and Ferraro.
Minnesota was the only state.
That was it. And, like, God bless. But, like, we know that the more he feels like it's slipping away from him, the more illegal and bad he's going to get. So... Mm-hmm. Of course we're nervous. We're just not being fatalistic at the moment because
right.
we have a reason to see hope.
Yeah.
But we all know that, like, the more Trump feels it slipping away, the absolute more incendiary he's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to compare this too much. It's not a one-to-one between now and 2016. I'm
yeah.
just comparing, like, confidence levels. And I just mm-hmm. – I find how confident but a little bit down people were about Hillary in 2016. Sort of like – it was sort of like a slog toward something inevitable that
mm-hmm.
wasn't like – it was much less bad than than Trump winning. So everyone just kind of thought it was like a done deal. Everyone was sort of coasting everything. I hope that it is fresh enough in people's minds and the trauma
yeah.
and shock of election night 2016 is fresh enough that people are not going to
lay back. Do you know how I would categorize the vibes then and now?
Hmm.
Back in 2016, I feel it was like everyone was kind of like, yeah, she's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel it's like maybe we could win.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know
win.
What I mean?
Yeah, she's
we could win.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Like, we feel like there is hope, but we all know that there's, I mean, the man she's running against inspired a fucking insurrection in the Capitol. Like, he will stop at nothing. I hope that nobody has forgotten January 6th.
Well, victory needs to be total. Not to sound like the art of war here, but victory needs to be
total
and resounding in order
yes.
for it to stick. And it reminds me a little bit of the abortion amendment in Ohio, issue one
yep.
last year.
Yep.
People were saying, you know, that the Republican, gerrymandered Republican government
right.
in the state of Ohio would try to, like, mess around with it unless it was a resounding victory. And it was resounding. They kind of made some noise about fucking with it afterwards. But
yeah.
It just—
They were going to go line by line and say which line was unconstitutional, yeah, that nut sex state of theirs. But,
yeah.
like, get out of here.
Yeah, but it was a non-starter. So we need to win 57% of the vote.
Listen.
Oh, do you think she's got it in her? I don't know. She's surprising me.
Look, we wish it all for her. We are not resting on our laurels.
Yeah. But do you think, honestly,
yes.
if you had to call it today, do you think we're going to win?
Is this a setup?
No. I mean, we will be clipping this and using it after the election.
Forever.
Forever.
I think if momentum keeps up, I think if the debates go reasonably well, I think if they can keep raising the money they're raising, which I do think the money will keep coming, which is good. I think we have a good chance, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. That was
Kay.
That was very couched. JD
Got
Vance.
To.
JD Vance joke.
But I'm bummed. Oh, missed those. I missed those.
Yeah.
I'm not good at the jokes, Aaron. That's the thing. I can respond, but I don't make them.
Well, you know what? That's what I'm for. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have an interview with the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Minnesota.
Hey!
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling Bea. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for Midwestern princesses. Our guest today is the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota and a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe. She's used to breaking records. She's currently the highest-ranking Native American woman elected to executive office. And if Governor Tim Walz wins the vice presidency, she will be the first Native woman to serve as a state governor. Please welcome Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I grew up like an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. So this is, you are representing my neck of the woods, although I was in Wisconsin. Can you introduce yourself to listeners who might not be lucky enough to live in the land of 10,000 lakes? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you found yourself as the LG of Minnesota.
Sure. Well, I will tell you, it was not my dream as a little girl to become the lieutenant governor. I wanted to be a ballerina nurse, which is exactly what it sounds like. But I grew up in the community of St. Louis Park, where I still live with my family. I, you know, grew up around a lot of strong women who just kind of led the way. Maybe some people had a hard time with women being in politics. My grandma was very involved when it was at the time maybe not like fashionable for women to be in politics, just had all of these examples of strong women, badass women leading the way in my family. But it wasn't until I worked for the late great Senator Paul Wellstone that I knew that I needed to be engaged and involved in electoral politics and organizing. And to be really candid, at the time, like, I didn't think that ever meant run for office. I just thought we need more young people, more Native people to be involved in campaigns and elections to, you know, build power around the issues we care about. But it really was, it changed my whole life. I actually wanted to be an early childhood special education teacher. And then my senior year at the University of Minnesota, I just stopped at Senator Wellstone's office because I was like, oh, I like Paul Wellstone. I'm just going to go check it out. And that changed everything. So I'm an organizer. I'm a child advocate. I was the former executive director of Children's Defense Fund, Minnesota. I was in the legislature. I am a mom of an 11-year-old amazing young girl and have been the lieutenant governor for the last 5.5 years with my partner in justice, Tim Walz. So a lot of organizing, a lot of advocacy has led me to this moment and to this role. And now I just get to be the hype squad for Tim Walz in his new role as the VP nominee, which is super exciting.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the late Senator Wellstone, I think that he would be proud of what you and Walz have accomplished. And during your tenure, there's been a huge amount of progressive legislation that has passed in the state of Minnesota, codifying abortion rights, free college tuition for low-income families, free school breakfast and lunch. So the million-dollar question is, how did you do it in a state that is, it's a blue state, but it's like purple-ish. So how did you do it, especially with a divided state legislature?
Well, one of the things that we were able to do is just organize over the last 20 years. I think there is, this idea that we had a trifecta, right, in the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, and then we did all this good work. It really was just decades of refining these policies, building coalitions with labor, nonprofit organizations, and many of us who were organizers are now in elected office. A decade ago, I was a new mom with a brand new baby on my hip and was one of the co-founders of Minnesotans for Paid Family and Medical Leave. It took a decade, right, to get that across the finish line and sign it into law, but it was because we kept coming back to those priorities. 10 years ago, we did have another trifecta, and many of us who were advocates and organizers at the time saw folks who, maybe played it safe. And 10 years later, we were like, we got to run as hard and as fast as we can. And Governor Walz says it all the time, right? You build political capital to spend it on behalf of the folks, right, who need you. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, as a kid who grew up on free and reduced price lunch, being able to have universal meals, breakfast and lunch at no cost to kids is life-changing. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many of us just were ready for this moment. And we had some wins along the way before we had the trifecta, but once we got that done, we only did what we told people we were going to do, right? Like protecting access to abortion, paid family and medical leave, expanding access to childcare, all of those things. It wasn't a secret, right? Mm-hmm. But we went for it because that's what we told people we would do.
Mm-hmm. And I also read that the free school breakfast and lunch program increased attendance at school.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Absolutely. And we saw, what we know is that when kids have access to food at school, their attendance goes up, but also, they're able to pay attention in class. It's hard to, study for your math quiz when you have an empty belly. So we are seeing participation go up. And I'll be honest, as a mom who packs a lunch for my kid, now we just send her out the door, right, with hugs and kisses and know that she's going to get a good meal at school. And those are the kinds of things I think that it's been so exciting to have the spotlight on Minnesota. We're just taking care of folks.
Yeah.
That's how we roll around here.
Yeah. So what are your current legislative priorities? You've already accomplished so much. Like, what's next?
So I'll be honest. Everything that I've worked my entire career to achieve policy-wise, we did.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And we got done. We absolutely will develop a new list. But, the guide for us is always to make Minnesota the best state in the country to raise a family. And I think, by protecting our freedoms and making sure, right, that people can decide how and when and if to start a family, that, people can decide which books they want to read. And as, again, the mom of a sixth grader, I care tremendously about that. And then implementing all of these policies that we just passed, I want to make sure that we have, the best paid family and medical leave system in the entire country. It was a priority for Governor Walz, and we need to make sure that folks, right, get access to that, and it happens in a good way. So we'll keep fighting for the things that we believe in, but I also think implementing all of these wins and doing that well is a top priority for us.
So if the Harris-Walz ticket wins in November, you will become the governor, and you'll be the first Indigenous woman to be an American state governor. How would your identity inform the way you approach the role?
Well, I think, at no time can I stop being an Ojibwe woman. One of my mentors, LaDonna Harris, said, it's not a hat that I can take on and off. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm a Comanche woman all the time. And so for me, I'm an Ojibwe woman all the time. I think that has already informed the work that Governor Walz and I have done together in making sure that our children have opportunity, that our, elders are supported, and that I think will continue, to guide me. But I would say this, you know, like the governor is still the governor. We have a little over 80 days to make sure that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are elected. I am doing everything that I can to make that a reality. But I'll also say we're in this kind of magic moment that I could have never imagined. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I had Geraldine Ferraro, right? Which was really powerful. But now my daughter has Auntie Deb, who's the Secretary of the Interior, Auntie Charisse, who is in Congress. Her mom's a lieutenant governor. And on election night in 2020, when we watched Vice President Harris walk across that stage in a white suit, my daughter was sitting in my lap and she said, "Mommy, she looks like me." Like, this is a reality now. And so regardless of what happens moving forward, we have so much hope and momentum in this moment for so many young people across the country who could have never imagined this. Mm-hmm. And this is just their reality. So I am hopeful that we will have a government that is more representative of the people, that people can see themselves reflected in. And I frankly think that's just good for democracy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you guided Tim Walz at the beginning of his career when he was a teacher running for Congress. What was it like doing Camp Wellstone with him?
So he came into Camp Wellstone. I had just won a seat on the Minneapolis Board of Education and was one of the trainers at Camp Wellstone. And he came in and he was wearing jeans and a T-shirt and tennis shoes. And he was like, "I'm Tim Walz. I'm a teacher from Mankato and I want to run for Congress in the 1st Congressional District." And we were like, "As a Democrat?" And he was like, "Well, yeah." And we're like, "Okay, come on in." And at the beginning of the training, you know, I really was like, "Who's this guy?" And then by the end of the training, I was like, "Who is this guy?" And I went down to Mankato and I knocked on doors in a district where I didn't live. Mm-hmm. Because I believed so much in his leadership. He is, of course, you know, a dad and a teacher and a coach. And that came through. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite things about Tim Walz is that because he is a good teacher, he's also a good learner and a good listener. And that weekend, you know, I was 25 years old and giving him feedback, right, on messaging and other things. And he took it, right? And I think, like, that is one of the things that I have just seen throughout his entire career is that he is so willing to learn from and listen to the people who are most deeply impacted by the decisions that are being made. And it is, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I would just say about Tim Walz is, like, what America is seeing right now, this is who he is. You know, my daughter got lice at school the day
oh, no.
after. Yeah, the day I have her permission to tell the story.
Okay.
the day after the 2018 election.
Oh,
right?
No.
So it was like, and I literally, I called him and I was like in tears and I was like, "What do I do?" And he said, "Okay, go to Target and you're going to FaceTime me." And so he's like, "This is the shampoo that you get. As soon as you get home, FaceTime me again. I'm going to walk you through it." Like, this is who he is. And it is what I saw at Camp Wellstone. And I think the work that we've been able to do together and how he is showing up in this moment, like, that is the legacy of Senator Wellstone that I see him carrying forward. And it is, it gives me tremendous amount of hope. And I love seeing my buddy having fun, right, on the campaign trail and just watching people all across the country learn more about Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. He's the real deal and just how great he is.
Yeah. You know, I also think that in this kind of influx of attention to the state of Minnesota, which, again, you know, grew up in the neighboring state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. going to the Twin Cities. My siblings are both Golden Gophers. My brother lives in Duluth. Like, you know, Minnesota adjacent.
Yes.
The more people find out about this state, you guys are going to get a lot of people moving there, I think.
I love it.
I think,
welcome.
Honestly, yep. it is one of the low-key, flies under the radar, one of the best places in the country to live. 100%, bar none. You just got to get a heavy jacket. That's it.
That's right. Hard agree. You dress for the weather. It's all good. And, you know, like, I think Minnesotans, we are humble people. But also, I think, you know, when the governor talks about, you know, mind your own damn business, I think, like, that's kind of the vibe, mm-hmm. right? Like, and we're good neighbors, right? We'll, like, shovel your driveway. We'll bring you a hot dish when you, you know, move into the neighborhood. And, you know, we'll make sure that you can have access to abortion here mm-hmm. if you need one, because we're good neighbors, right? Yeah. Like, that's who we are as Minnesotans.
Yeah, you know, I have a really funny Minnesota story before our final question, which is about the state fair. So we did a show, a Love It or Leave It show, back in, like, 2018 in Minnesota, and that was during that April snowstorm. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Really, really mm-hmm. out of nowhere. Our plane landed yep. right as it was picking up. The mayors of both cities were like, don't travel. But the venue, we were there, and it was like, we can't cancel this because, you know, whatever. And so we thought we were just going to have a small show. And before the show, we look out into the audience, and it was full. People had snowshoed to the venue on a blizzard, during a blizzard, when the mayors of both cities were like, stay home. They were like, oh, no, I don't think so. I got to, you know, tickets to the show. I'm going to go blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it was so funny. And they were so excited. And, like, it was a great show. And it was just, like, people were cross-country skiing, and it was
for sure
crazy. Okay.
You just got to give yourself enough time to get there.
Exactly. Okay, so the state fair is one of the greatest things that Minnesota offers, like, the world, I think.
100%.
What new foods are you going to try this year at the state fair?
Ooh, so first of all, I love this Minnesota State Fair more than anything else in the entire world. It is my favorite thing, and I will be there day after day after day. So there are some new wild rice meatballs that I will be trying. Very excited about that. And, you know, and of course, the classics. I will just put this on because the governor has one as well. I am team Pronto Pup, and he is team corn dog. And this is, like, people are like, what do you disagree about? And I was like, Pronto Pups versus corn dogs. That is, like, the one place where there's a little tension in our relationship. But the state fair is amazing. And anybody who's like, oh, I don't know, the Iowa State Fair is pretty good too. Like, sure.
No.
But no, the Minnesota State Fair is
the best one.
The best. Fight me. Yeah. Like, it is. I'm all in. Yep.
I'm excited. I can't go this year. I just had a baby in June, so I'm not traveling.
Congratulations.
Thank you. This is my first day back from maternity leave, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. And I luckily live in a paid family leave state. So, you
Hooray.
Know. I know. So the one that I was reading about and, like, I want to eat this and I'm so sad I can't is the, like, Swedish meatball sliders.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look
yeah.
so good.
So I will absolutely try that.
Please
for you,
give us
and
feedback.
I will
let us
report
know.
Back. Yep.
For
I'm
sure.
happy. I volunteer's tribute. I'm
okay.
happy to do that.
Please.
Yep.
And then also I think there was, like, a corn soda. You gotta try all of it. And please
I will
let us know.
I will take one for the team
okay.
and try the corn soda. It's not at the top of my list, but, like, I am a team player. That's what seconds in command are all about. So I will try that corn soda for you.
Oh, okay. Well, Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart mm. Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
we still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling Bea. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who already missed the Olympics. They're back. They were back.
Erin, I've got one for you.
Oh, good.
Okay. I read somewhere that if the U.S. Olympic women were their own team, they'd have placed third in the world.
Whoa. What? For the number of medals that they won?
Yep.
I just have to say, okay, what were your favorite Olympic moments this year?
Okay. There was Worcester, Massachusetts, Stephen on the pummel horse, obviously. Everything Simone Biles. Alona Maher. From
the rugby player?
Rugby's. Oh,
what a treasure.
Let me tell you, I wish all the good things for everybody because I'm just a nice lady, but I wish so many good things. Her post-rugby match Instagram content, I set a notification for it because I didn't want to miss it. She was wearing her outfits. She was eating cheese. She was enjoying herself. What about you? What were your favorite moments?
Okay. I have to say, I love the USA gymnastics team ever since being like a 90s girly.
Same.
I have loved gymnastics. And this year's team was so fun to watch. But I want to give a special shout out to Jordan Chiles.
Yes.
Who was just a sparkling beacon of light and joy.
Totally.
And watching her during the team finals, she was so good. She was so good and like so much fun to watch. And her enthusiasm was just infectious. And it was so exciting to watch them. And also, she's a UCLA Bruin. So I have to say, you know, home team kind of because, you know, living out in LA. She is just wonderful. And the controversy around the floor medal.
Done so dirty.
And I think that her performances will be remembered regardless of whether or not she has a medal for being just so much fun and inspiring. Sha'Carri Richardson, oh my God.
Erin, we've been doing this podcast so long. We talked about how pissed we were when she didn't make the cut, which was bullshit, by the way.
I love watching the track relays. That is like teamwork and it was so fun to watch.
Did you see how many people had ended up in the ER because they tried Olympic things at home?
Oh, no. How many?
Yeah, it's like a fair amount. It's a fair amount. It's not an insignificant number.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. Well, I have to say, after Tokyo 2020/2021 and like no crowds, and it was just like so nice that the Olympics were back despite some of the organizational problems on the Parisian end of things. I thought that the coverage that was available to us in the U.S. was great for once. NBC/Peacock completely nailed it.
Every bit of it from Snoop and Martha and Colin Jost in Tahiti doing the surfing stuff. I feel like their social media was great. Mm-hmm. They understood that they needed to make it like entertaining and something that we wanted to watch. But also, do you think, okay, if Biden hadn't have dropped out and Harris wasn't the nominee. Do you think that that we could have let ourselves enjoy the Olympics as much as we did?
No.
Yeah, no, right?
No.
Like, this was part of the vibes that we've been talking about all episode. Like, the Olympics were part of it.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Kamala. Thanks, Kamala, is the new thanks, Obama.
That is. You did it, Kamala.
Yes, exactly. But it was so fun to watch, and I felt like they didn't just waste our time with puff pieces. They let us just watch the sports, and it was just really, really fun. And also the basketball, the men's USA basketball was a lot of fun to watch too. It was like,
yeah, it was all. And how about women's soccer? If someone has pink hair, they're gonna win.
They're gonna win. Oh, it was great. It was fun to see a new generation. Oh man, when is the Women's World Cup?
Swimming, Katie Ledecky.
Oh my god,
most medals of any U.S. woman, right? I mean.
Oh, my
Love
God.
It.
That when she was swimming in, I think, the 1500, and she was so far ahead that they had to widen the camera angle.
Yes, because she was done.
She's like secretariat. She's like secretariat out there.
Do you know the term when secretariat was made into a movie, which was a long time ago? I went to the theater to watch it, and I started yelling at the end. And my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was like, "Do you not know how this ends?" And I was like, "No."
They used the footage where they were like, "He's running like a tremendous machine."
I'm just saying.
I got teary the first time I saw
it. Of course. I mean, it's like, come on.
Running like a tremendous machine. Oh my gosh. Guess what, though? It's not over. The Olympics are not over because the Paralympics are starting.
I know. I saw that. And I love that all the Olympians shouting out the Paralympians, making sure that we all watch.
The Paralympics are so exciting and so fun. And I think it's August 28th that it's starting.
Yes, that's right.
On the same—
And we will be following it.
We will 100%.
We will be talking about it. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does this make you more or less excited for the Olympics in LA?
More. More.
Okay, because I'm just telling you, I'm probably going to come out and stay with you.
Okay.
So that we can go to the Olympics.
You're calling the couch. Okay.
Listen, I'm calling the couch, and I will be in charge of getting us passes.
Okay. Well, okay, amazing. I believe that you will be able
to do it. Like, this is what we have to do.
I'm excited about it because I will have children who are seven.
They're coming.
Like, six.
We're all going.
Yeah, I'll have a kid that's six and a kid that's four. And I think the four-year-old might be a little bit on the young side at the time.
Yeah, we'll bring the stroller. It'll be fun.
but I think the older one will be really excited to go see some Olympics events.
And we've said it here first. Whether this podcast is still a thing or not, we're going to Los Angeles Olympics in 2028.
Yeah, we'll do it. 2028. God, I remember getting like a credit card or a new debit card in the mail, and the expiration was 2028. And I was like, 2028. That's
America won't exist by then.
That's never going to happen. Well, I mean, it still might not, but, you know, fingers crossed.
Knock wood. Knock wood. We're keeping the vibes.
Project 2028. Okay, we are going to get to Sanity Corner, but first, some announcements for the class. Stacey Abrams. God, another American treasure.
Yes.
Stacey Abrams knows a thing or two about not giving up. And on her new Crooked podcast, Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams, Stacey's breaking down the biggest issues in politics right now and sharing stories of action to keep you motivated for the long haul.
Meet incredible advocates from across the issue spectrum fighting for a better future and discover how everyday people like you and me can help make that future a reality. You can listen to the first episode of Assembly Required with Stacey Abrams right now wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop every Thursday.
And make sure to subscribe on YouTube for the video version. Okay, Sani Petty, do you have anything that you want to add to Sani Petty this week, Alyssa?
I'm feeling Sani.
Okay.
I'm not giving into petty vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you will appreciate this as someone who has a baby and probably doesn't sleep that much.
You're right. I don't sleep that much.
I know. And as a perimenopausal woman whose estrogen's gone off a cliff and I don't sleep that much, Julia Child episodes can be found on the PBS app.
Amazing.
They are perfect. Because you know what was great about Julia Child? Everyone now is like so perfect. I mean, other than Ina. Ina's kind of like more of the real, like, chef, like a real cook who makes you feel like you're not a loser if you fuck something up.
Mm-hmm.
But Julia Child's just out there like dropping wisdom in these episodes. Like, listen, here's what's wrong with Americans, okay? You're afraid to make mistakes. This is how you're going to learn to cook. And I was like, girl, I put my headphones on. I was like, Julia, I didn't even need to watch it. I was just like listening to her. I'm like, Julia, just talk to me. And then she prompted me to go down the rabbit hole of when you start watching Julia Child on Instagram and then take it to the PBS app, you start getting new things in your algorithm, which include things from, I had to write her down, Pastime Cook, who found her great-grandmother's recipes and her grandmother's recipes and is going through the handwritten note cards and making these recipes.
Oh.
Erin, I will tag you. I think I sent it to you last night. Check your DMs.
Okay.
I sent it to you.
Okay.
Because it is, because first, we love old-timey weird things. Mm-hmm. And some of these episodes are super old-timey and weird, but she brings like history, like how recipes using condensed milk became a thing because when refrigeration happened, you didn't need condensed milk anymore because you could have a refrigerator. So she's just like, it's highly enjoyable. 10 out of 10 recommend. Erin, people are not dragging me back into the dark place. I am staying upbeat, head above water, trying to be chill.
We've got to.
No more trauma. No more trauma TV.
Doom and gloom.
I can't watch things that are called comedies that are just not comedies.
Yeah. Doom and gloom is so 2020.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's been the vibe shift has happened, and the vibe shift is toward,
you know what,
joy.
I think joy is Donald Trump's kryptonite. He can't be around it.
He can't. It
He can't.
Wow.
Right?
It's
his kryptonite. It's making him crumble into a million pieces. I'm not saying he's done now, but it's not. He does not like it.
Authentic joy that doesn't come from hurting another person, that isn't sadistic.
Do you think there's ever been joy in the Trump family? Like, in a real way? They didn't even look joyful at his convention
speech.
I think
when Ivanka got her new chin and it turned out really good, there might have been,
you know,
some
what?
Joy.
That's, she might have felt joy.
She's got a good.
I feel like maybe she and Jared have felt joy. The rest of them are just, I don't know.
Well, they feel joy, but you can never tell if they're happy or not because their faces can't move.
Wait, what about you? First Sani Petty back.
Okay, this is a little bit late to the party, but I have to say, taking care of a little tiny baby, who is it? She's a good baby. She smiles a lot. She's like much less complicated than the first one, and maybe I'm just better at taking care of the baby now because I've done it before.
Like, you're less scared.
Yeah, I'm less scared.
But anxious.
She is in a phase right now where she doesn't like it when I'm not within, like, when she can't see me. So she spends a lot of time in her little bouncer, just her little baby Bjorn just being like gently bounced, and she goes to sleep like that and whatever. So I spend a lot of time sitting in front of the TV because I can't go anywhere.
Right.
And I started watching Love Island USA, the latest season of it. There's so much content. There's like, I'm on like episode 25 or something, and I don't know how many are left because I'm just like really enjoying it. It is pure, like absolute apex of trash TV. It is so
awesome.
Good because everyone on it is very stupid in different ways, but also you find yourself just loving them and rooting for them. And like, then you find yourself, the more you get to know them, the more you're like, I was being judgmental by thinking this person was stupid, and they were just like, they're just being taped all the time, and everybody says stupid things when they're being taped all the time. And I love it. I love that, like, they will have, all day long, they're walking around with their butts out and under boobs out in bikinis. Everybody is like happy.
Live your best life.
And they're beautiful. They all look so good. So good for them. That doesn't bother me at all. But what I think is funny is in the nighttime, they'll sometimes get like these alerts that are like, we're going to have a disco dance party tonight. And it'll cut to the people reacting to it and the guys being like, oh, I bet the girls are going to look really hot. It's like they're half naked all the time.
They're already
like,
hot.
They're going to be putting on like a dress, but they're going to be more covered up tonight
than they were at the pool
most of the time, which is like, anyway, it's really funny. And there's one part where a guy says that his career goal is to become like a spokesman for Cheez-Its, and it's
live
so
those big
funny.
Dreams and, manifest that for yourself.
And there's one conversation where this like very this guy is a hot idiot. There's a hot idiot who is having a girl is pouring her heart out to him. And she goes, what are you thinking? And he goes, about eels. And he wanted to know how they reproduct instead of reproduce.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's so good, Alyssa. It's so good.
I might have to watch it.
It's
You're going to have to tell me what season you're on because I need to be on the same one.
The most recent season. It is so good. It starts out and you're like, okay, fine, whatever. This is like fun, candy colored fun. But then by the time it gets into the 20s and like the show's producers start getting sadistic, it's like, incredible television. There's sisterhood. There's guys being bastards and getting the riot act read to them. There's one episode where this guy gets caught doing something that he should not be doing, and everyone is mad at him. And you are authentically watching a guy find out after fucking around. Like, it is so satisfying.
Whoa.
Caroline is like enthusiastic over there. She's like lifting the mic up.
This is her cup of tea.
Like she's about to say something. It is trash. It is absolute trash. It is
whatever.
Heteronormativity.
But you know what?
It is, there's no, you know, body diversity.
We're taking trash over bad vibes any day of the week.
There is a cast member on there named Janae who is just amazing. Like, she is gorgeous, and like everything about her, like, she says the funniest things on purpose. She's really smart. She's just the best. So yeah, you got to watch it.
I'm gonna watch it.
All right. Wow. Back. First episode back.
Back. Did it.
I don't know.
Easy peasy.
What is that stuff that removes rust? Rust-Oleum. I feel like I need
Rust-Oleum.
Some Rust-Oleum for my brain.
I'm gonna. What is it? WD-40.
Yeah.
Look. We sprayed it under your armpits, around your neck, you're good.
Yeah, yeah. Oil can. I am the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. Okay. That is all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. I want to thank all of you listeners. Alyssa, I want to thank you for putting out amazing episodes all summer long.
Thank you.
Just incredible job on your part. I'm really, really thankful for you.
Missed the shit out of you. Oh, glad you're back.
Missed the shit out of you, too. I want to thank Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, who is just a dream. And we have,
10
to
out of 10.
Have to have her back. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Fiona Pestana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Megan Patzel. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolate, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
So listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Two journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vitor on, who may be our boss.
we still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vitor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
doesn't
stupid.
Doesn't sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.